Less than 1 month after the Eagles' triumphant Super Bowl parade, NFL Films' 2017 Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl Champions Super Bowl 52 Instant Highlight will be released tomorrow. Joining me is David Plout, longtime senior producer at NFL Films. Dave, thanks for joining us on Newsworks tonight.
Glad to be here with you, Dave. This is Dave Radio.
And indeed. Let's note that more accurately, you are a former senior producer having just retired. When did you start with NFL Films?
I began on August 2nd, 1976, the same week that Legionnaire's disease hit the Bellevue Stratford Hotel. So I hope that that was not a harbinger of my career. But I was here the year of the bicentennial, and so that's 42 seasons at NFL Films.
And I hope that has nothing to do with the unfortunate coincidence that it took until this year, your final year with the organization, for the Eagles to go all the way.
Well, I'm glad that it was better late than never, and what better way to finish out a career than to be able to have your last film be a chronicle of the Eagles' Super Bowl championship season.
So we won't get too much in the weeds, but how is this turned around in a matter of weeks? There were some 40 producers and 40 people on the staff accumulating sound and video. How did you get to this final product so quickly?
We've been doing these types of films, which in-house are known as instant highlights. There's nothing really instant about it. It does take a while to prepare it. But compared to other shows, we turn it around pretty quickly. We started doing this in 1985 when the Chicago Bears had that incredible team with all those great characters, that wonderful defense that Buddy Ryan coached, and Walter Payton and Jim McMahon and The Fridge and those folks. And since then, we've been making these movies, and we've been getting a lot better at it because the technology has gotten much better. So what you have to do is you have to start preparing about 4 weeks out when the playoffs are underway. You start looking at who after the wild card rounds are done, you see who the eight teams are that are still left in each conference. And then a crew of producers is assigned, one to the NFC, one to the AFC. And you begin collating the material on the teams that you think are likely to advance. And then when you're down to just two teams in each conference, you start pulling all those elements into a project in a digitally based editing system. And you have them all ready to go. And then the next day, after we know who's going to the Super Bowl in each conference, you start making a film about it. And there are some of us daring enough to say, well, I think that this team is going to win, and they start cutting even before that game is played. Sometimes you get burned, sometimes you get lucky. But then it's about 2 weeks to get it into shape before the Super Bowl is played. So by the time the Friday before the Super Bowl is even played, the entire rest of the film is already done. It's already been edited, it's already been matched, the picture's been corrected, and all the audio is placed, and the scripts are written, and you're just waiting for the Super Bowl to be played. And then once that's done, it's a real two-minute drill to get that game edited and produced and finished. And then the whole film is done by the following Friday after the Super Bowl, 5 days after the game is played. The film is done, and it goes out to the duplicator so that they can start churning out DVDs and Blu-rays.
This film is a chronology. It actually starts with Kelce, part of his speech that you actually can, for example, put on the radio, but then quickly goes all the way back to 1960 Franklin Field.
Yes, it does, because we thought it was important, particularly for younger fans, to truly understand the long-suffering Eagles fans' plight. And I think other than a couple of other teams, maybe the Lions and maybe a couple of others, they've gone the longest without having a championship team. So we thought that starting the film out after the opening graphics, that would be a vivid reminder for those who were alive when that happened, and for those too young to say, wow, look at those weird uniforms, and gosh, they played pro football at Franklin Field, who knew? So it's a good way to put the entire season in context, that the Eagles fans had waited an awfully long time.
Referring to uniforms, certainly more so than baseball and especially basketball, football players are enshrouded in padding and helmets. And part of the magic of this film is the viewer is right there on the field, focusing on eye contact, emotions, and also talk between players, talk from players to coaches. It's almost a voyeuristic view.
Well, we have to provide for the football audience something that they didn't see on TV, because TV does a great job of covering live sports, and the NFL in particular. It's the perfect sport for television. So our mandate is, what can we give the fan that they are not privy to when they're watching the game? And the most obvious thing is live sound, because we have access to the players and coaches that the networks can't have, because you can't have like state secrets being revealed over the air while the games are being played. And there's also the issue of cursing, which is not, although Jason Kelce certainly put that to rest with his speech at the Art Museum. But in most conditions, you don't want to have language that might be objectionable coming out over that. So what we're able to do is we mic up the players and coaches, or we have sound crews that are close by, and we're able to get a lot of sound, which really helps tell the story, and even more importantly, it humanizes the players so that fans really have a much better idea of how they are emotionally reacting, and also how they're strategizing to try to win these big games.
Including, iconically, the quarterback's appeal to the coach to put in the Philly special play.
We had wired three Eagles people. One was Coach Peterson, one was Nick Foles, and one was Malcolm Jenkins. And sometimes you guess wrong, and you get a guy who doesn't play very well, doesn't have much of an impact on the game. In this case, we hit the trifecta. All three were very instrumental in the Eagles' win. So their sound is heard throughout that game. And we also wired many players throughout the season. So in this film, which is the entire year from opening day right through the Super Bowl, you're going to get sound quality of a similar nature. You're going to hear a lot of stuff that you would never be able to hear watching TV, and certainly not attending the games.
I would say that most of the sound throughout the documentary is generated from players and coaches, although we do hear the iconic voice of, among others, Merrill Reese.
Well, Merrill Reese and Mike Quick are Boswells, to take a literary example. They are our guides through this season. They are voices that are as familiar to Eagles fans as Harry Callis's is in baseball, as Bill Campbell's was in basketball, Gene Hart in hockey. They have just always seemed to have been there. And I know a lot of Eagles fans, when they watch the games on TV, they turn the network sound down and listen to Merle and Mike call the game. So we wanted them to be very much a part of the narrative, too. And they help out by being really good at their jobs and being able to give very vivid descriptions and put things in such a way that Eagles fans can really relate to it. So Merle and Mike are very, very important and very omnipresent throughout this film.
NFL film fans of a certain age will certainly recall the iconic voice of one John Facenda.
I had the privilege of working with John for 7 years before he passed away, and some of my scripts were really not worthy of his stentorian talents, but he always elevated anything that you gave him, and the ultimate compliment would be at the end of a recording session, he would look over at you and he would say, "Well, Dave, you gave me a good horse to ride on," and that was worth almost its weight in gold to be able to have him say that, because he was a very literate guy. He was very well-read. Because of his news background, he really knew what was going on, and so he wasn't just blowing smoke. If he gave you that compliment, it was just something that would sustain you for weeks.
Again, over the arc of your career, just sheer coincidence that you're going out the ultimate winner?
I wasn't anticipating this. I had just finished a film on the Ice Bowl, which ran on NFL Network in late December to celebrate the 50th anniversary of that game. And so I at that time, I knew that I would be retiring along with 24 other longtime NFL Films employees. There was a league buyout that was offered to us, and so a lot of us were leaving. So many of us didn't know how that last month was going to go. And then when they told me I was working on this film, I said to myself, hey, I wonder if maybe this one time I can finally get an Eagles championship. Naturally, like many other people, I was somewhat skeptical because of the Carson Wentz injury, but I was very happy to have those fears dashed and to have it end up the way it did.
Somewhat skeptical, or like me, if I were to confess, no way they were going to win without Wentz.
I didn't think they were going to beat Atlanta because in the previous weeks, Wentz's performance, excuse me, Foles' performance, had not really been all that scintillating, even though some of it was not his fault. Other people were not performing at the same level that they had earlier. But when they found a way to beat Atlanta, I thought, okay, maybe they've got a chance. I thought Minnesota was good, but the way that Minnesota had won their game on that miracle play, I thought, you know what, I think the Eagles are a better team than they are. I'm really glad they didn't play the Saints. I think the Saints were a good enough team that they could have beaten Philadelphia, even at the link, but I thought they had a pretty good chance. And then Nick Foles played the game of his life, at least for 1 or 2 weeks, and then he outdid himself 2 weeks later in Minneapolis. So it was great. It all turned out great. This whole season was so much fun. It was a fun team to watch. They were imaginative. They were daring. They were even funny when they weren't playing football with many of their choreographed dances, which you will see most of them in full flower in the film. It just was a great season. It just was a lot of fun. Even if you were not particularly partisan towards the Eagles, you would say to yourself, God, this is a really exciting team to watch on both sides of the ball.
And who doesn't like a good old underdog David versus Goliath story arc?
It never gets old.
Dave, you noted earlier that football is a perfect sport for television, and yet outside of our region, our Eagles fans wouldn't believe it, but NFL viewership is down. Do you suspect that it's due primarily to aspects of football, be they controversies around taking a knee or concussions, or is it in general viewership for sports is down?
I think all of those factors are in play there, but I think that the main reason that the numbers are down is that more people are now experiencing football through different mediums. Right now, they still can't measure totally accurately all the people who take in games watching them on their smartphones. They've never been able to really to tabulate all the numbers of people who are watching in sports bars or at chicken wing places or things of that nature. So I believe that the numbers are probably still pretty robust, and football still draws better than any other entertainment medium in the country, and that includes films and television. The top-rated shows, most of them are still pro football games. So they're still getting more people, but the pie slices are shrinking, but maybe not necessarily so. Maybe we're just not yet able to get fully accurate measures. But certainly the concussion issues, I think some of the off-field political issues, they may have discouraged some fans. But I just think people are watching and experiencing the game in different ways.
Well, not to indict football specifically, and let's note that your love for sports extends beyond that. You've written 4 books on baseball. Do you surmise that perhaps the viewing interest in sports in general is down? And one example recently is apparently viewership for the Winter Olympics was way off projections.
That may be. People have more choices and more ways to access that than they ever did. You and I are roughly of the same generation. When I tell my children that when I grew up there were only 3 channels, it was all black and white, that you had to get up and change the channel, and that you had these goofy-looking rabbit ears on your TV, and if they weren't positioned just so, you couldn't even get a clear picture. And you think of that television universe when 50 million people would watch Ed Sullivan, and that wasn't, there was nothing, nobody would even think about that because there were only 3 channels that you could watch. If you got $50 million for any show today, sponsors and networks or cable companies, they would be turning handsprings. So it's just a different world.
I'm wondering then if that iconic 1960 NFL championship game between the Packers and Eagles was even televised.
It was not televised in Philadelphia. The NFL still had the blackout rule then, where no local games could be shown, even if it was sold out weeks in advance. That later was modified in the 1970s, but for many years, if you were an Eagles fan, you'd have to drive to Reading or North Jersey or somewhere outside of the Philadelphia market, and you and 6 other people would pay for a hotel room and watch the game there if you wanted to see the game, if because the game would be sold out and you couldn't get in. So that game, the Philadelphia Eagles win over the Packers in 1960, was not seen on TV in the Philadelphia market.
Dave, now untethered from NFL films, will this allow you to, in part, scratch your writing itch? Is there another book in you?
I think my agent certainly hopes so. We'll have to see what's out there. Right now, I'm just enjoying the idea of not going to work for the first time since I was 12 years old. It's kind of a refreshing concept, but I still think I'm young in spirit, and who knows, maybe there'll be other film production opportunities for me, maybe another book. We'll see. Right now, I'm just happy to help my my kids and my wife, and just, you know, pick up the dry cleaning and do the grocery shopping.
Well, what a wonderful swan song, the Eagles season and the NFL film release. Thank you for joining us on Newsworks Tonight.
Thank you, Dave. It was a pleasure.
David Plaut, former senior producer at NFL Films.